Greetings, Internet, and welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 135, Interview with Raina Campbell. Raina is a marketing strategist, content creator, and host of the Dreams in Drive podcast, a podcast she launched in January 2016 that teaches creatives and lifestyle entrepreneurs how to take their dreams out of park and into drive. In this episode of Getting Work to Work, we talk about what got her into podcasting and how her vision has evolved over the past 2 years, how she builds community and relationships, and who she would interview if she could. The answer may surprise you. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/135. Getting Work to Work is brought to you by Chris Martin Studios, a media production company telling stories with heart, edge, and fearlessness through video, podcasts, and design for those who dare to build a better world. Keep in touch with Chris Martin Studios by signing up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter at gwtw.co/135. By doing so, you'll receive inspiration on Mondays and Fridays with ways to increase your creativity, curiosity, and wonder. All right, you ready for this interview with Raina? Let's get into it. Raina, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and share a little about what you do?
Hey, everyone. My name is Raina, and I am the host of Dreams in Drive, which is a podcast for creative and lifestyle entrepreneurs who want to learn how to take their dreams out of park and into drive. And I launched it back in January 2016. And over the past 2 years, I have been interviewing people from all walks of life. They have been telling their dream driving journeys and sharing their keys to success. And that has been really cool for me. So I do that by night. But by day, my day job is I work in marketing at a fulfillment company. So it's not the sexiest job, but it is definitely teaching me a lot about the behind the scenes of business. And I love marketing and media because that's kind of my background. So that's what I do. And I also do some blogging. I call myself a wannabe fashion style influencer on Instagram. That's a little bit about me, Chris.
That's very cool. As you're talking and describing your day job, I imagine that the things that you learn from other people on your podcast find their way into your day job.
The direct connection is for people who have products or work on the e-commerce side. Because I work at an e-commerce fulfillment center, I understand just how hard it is to sell things online and all the back end logistics that go into it. So on that end, it's so cool to get to talk to people who have built businesses that way and then to go to work and see how these businesses are running and all the day-to-day operations that have to get handled.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on your podcast, 129 episodes in 2 years. That is an amazing feat. So let's just pause for like celebration because that's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
But what got you into podcasting?
So you know what? That's a good question, Chris. When I graduated from Princeton back in 2013, I thought I was going to have this big media job, but that didn't really happen. I ended up working at a nonprofit in New York City, but I still wanted to write. I still wanted to get my name out there. And a mentor at the time basically led me on this path where I was at some type of meeting and I met these editors for this online magazine and I started writing for their business section, interviewing Black female entrepreneurs. And that kind of just like, I got hooked. I really loved interviewing. I didn't like writing other stories. I just wanted to hear other people's stuff. And I would type them up and I would write them. I did a lot of interviews for the site. It was called Madame Noir. And then I realized that, you know, here I am interviewing for other people. I had started my own blog. I had started my own interview series on that blog. I just thought that people weren't really getting that much value. People weren't really going to read like a 40-minute interview transcribed, right? And I had been listening to a lot of podcasts, or not really a lot. I listened to Lewis Howes. I listened to this guy called Nate Bagley. He had a podcast called Lovumentary. And I said, wait, I could do this myself. And I remember I was interviewing this guy called Nate Holtzapfel, and he was like, what's stopping you? Like, there are people out here who are not as smart as you and who are out here building stuff. Like, just figure out how to do that. And that was August 2015. I put a date on it. I said, by January 1st, 2016, I'm going to have a podcast. And that's what really led me to wanting to launch something on my own and to see how I could grow it if I was just consistent week after week.
Mm-hmm. Was interviewing something that you were interested in as a kid, or was it just something that you fell into at that job?
It's funny because interviewing has been a big theme in my life. So in college, as a sophomore, I was working as a communications intern for the Office of Career Services. And one day my boss gave me a flip camera and said, hey, go interview people and ask them questions. So it was my job to like ask students, like, what are your career questions? And I would record them on the camera, come back, edit a video, and then write a blog to and answer their questions, right?
Yeah.
So that was the beginning of it. And then my junior year, we had to do independent research. And I did independent research on uniformed employees in the workplace. So I interviewed about 20 to 25 different employees about their experiences in the workplace. And then my senior year, I did my senior thesis on policing in my hometown of Orange, New Jersey. And I interviewed police officers, police chaplains, community residents. So I'm really been practicing interviewing for a long time, even before graduating and even before getting that first job of freelance writing and doing interviews with actual entrepreneurs. So I want to say storytelling and hearing people's stories was just something that I've always loved. And I was holding this skill before I even knew that it would, you know, help me professionally.
Yeah, that's really cool. Did you have any heroes that you looked up to in terms of the interviewing skills?
Back in college, I want to say probably not. Everyone loves Oprah, right? Like, you look at Oprah. But I really didn't have any heroes or anyone's style that I was trying to like imitate or look up to. I was just a big reader, though, as a child. So I was a big fiction reader. That probably inspired me, you know, trying to figure out what someone's story, what is someone hiding, what more can we uncover through questioning and probing. So I think my love for literature and fiction really inspired that love for storytelling and for interviewing.
Yeah. So from January of 2016 to today, how has your initial vision and what you thought was possible evolved over the years?
So back in January 2016, I don't think I had a real vision for it. I just wanted to be consistent, right? And I just wanted to meet cool people and tell cool stories. I don't think I really thought about the community so much. I didn't even think about the impact. So I think I was just being a little bit selfish in the beginning. Like, I just wanted to interview people who I thought were cool and to build relationships with people that I thought were cool. But then as episodes went on, I saw that people were actually having an impact and people's lives were changing and people were saying, wow, like, I can do this because this person did this. So I started seeing the importance of building a bigger community. I think I saw my own purpose. Because as I said, like, I had always loved interviewing, but I never realized I had a gift for it until the podcast. And I think that's because other people were starting to tell me over and over, like, Raina, like, you're really good, or Raina, your interviews are unique and that kind of stuff. You know, you have a way of getting people to open up. So it helped uncover in me, like, maybe this could be part of my life's mission or my life's purpose in some way. And I could build a business around it. I always had this entrepreneurial spirit, but I didn't really necessarily know how that would manifest. And I had been trying to discover it. So I think the podcast helped me in that way.
That's really cool. I love the story of when you're diving into something and you aren't quite sure what it's going to look like, and you just have that patience to let it unfold to become something different. And I love the idea of learning how to form community. And so as you've gone, how have you learned to embrace that building of community?
I've learned that you have to listen to people, right? And that's been the biggest thing is, when you're building something, in the beginning, I was building it for me. And I was being very self-centered and thinking, like, what do I want to know? But community is not about yourself. Like, if you want to have a podcast, it's just a hobby and it's just for you, then you know, don't put that much work into it. But if you really want it to be valuable, if you want it to grow, you have to understand what are the needs of your audience and what are the needs of the people who are tuning in. And once I started doing that, you know, I started getting social. I remember my first guest, David, he said, Raina, you actually need to be on Twitter, like talking to people. And I said, why? He's like, because that's what it is. You're supposed to be social. And I said, oh, okay. You know, when I started actually getting social and figuring out that people needed to hear these type of stories, that's really contributed to it growing. And it really helped my perspective to change as well.
Hmm. I like that. And how do you push yourself to try new things while keeping production value high for your community? Because that's something that is mentioned in the reviews for your podcast often, is that you're growing and trying new things often.
Oh, thank you for checking out the reviews. I think it's just me knowing that if you want to grow, you have to be willing to experiment. And I've always been one for, like, if it doesn't work, at least try. And if it doesn't work, you can always pivot. I forgot, like, which business book this was that I picked this up, but The Art of Pivoting. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when you keep trying the same thing, if you're not seeing any type of change, that means you need to do something different. So I just told myself, like, it's mine. I don't have to report to anyone. So if I want to try something new, I have all licenses to, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's been the biggest thing for me, is like really being a student of the industry, seeing what works for other people, and then like figuring out like how can I adapt that to me, but still make it authentic to my brand and my vision. So that's just been something that I've been trying to hone in on. It's like, I am the driver of the dream. And this podcast is part of my dream. If I want it to grow, I have to constantly be thinking about ways to push myself, because that's what experimenting is. It's stepping outside of your comfort zone, but the benefits of doing that are just so remarkable.
Yeah. What's something that you've tried recently that you weren't sure of whether it was going to work or not?
For the podcast?
Yeah.
Let me think. That's a good question. This isn't new per se. It's not innovative, but I hadn't been doing it on the show. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been reading reviews on the show. I had been asking for them, but I didn't really read them. But I was listening to some other show, and they had like this part where they would do like a listener shout out of the week. So I said, you know what, at the end of the shows, I'm going to read the latest reviews that people are leaving on the show. And people would get so excited when I read their review. They would post about it on Instagram. And to me, it's like, wait, like I'm just reading a few sentences. But I realized that was part of engagement, and they really, really appreciated it. And I said, you know what? That's good. Although it's extra time at the end of the show, I think people find value in, one, hearing what other people think. And then the people who I'm shouting out feel special, and they might go and tell somebody else about the show because of that. So yeah. It's a win-win for everyone.
That's really cool. How do you find the people that you have on your podcast?
So there's a mix. There's people who I know personally. Then there are people who I may know professionally, so that there might be like one connection away, like we've met before, but I don't necessarily know them professionally. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who are on my like wish list. So the people who I know personally, some of them, it's not always an easy sell, right?
Yeah.
I have to convince people in my life that I think they are amazing and have amazing stories. And there have been some people who've been on the show who are like, girl, I don't have any type of story. Like, why do you want me on your show? Those are the three buckets of people. I think how I find people is, number one, I try to figure out like, what's the story that this person has that I think will resonate with the audience? Or what is the skill or expertise that they have that's related to what my audience would find valuable. Mm-hmm. And then some people, it's just like, who do I think is doing something really, really cool that I think my audience would find really cool as well? And who has an amazing story? Those are like the key criteria that I ask myself when looking for guests or when people are pitching me. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's another bucket. People pitch me also to be on the show as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. Have there ever been moments when you're listening to someone's story where you thought you knew them based upon the research that you've done, and they completely surprised you?
Listen, episode 86 is a prime example of that. It was with my friend Sarah Vega, and you know, we met about 3 years ago at a blogger conference. So I thought she was going to come on the show to talk about, you know, being a Latina blogger and, you know, trying to make it in the media world and her podcast. And she ended up coming on the show and telling me that she used to be a corrections officer. Oh, wow. And how she got fired from the job because of this big case against her that they were accusing her of sleeping with an inmate, and how that basically led her into a big depression. You know, she got banned from all civil jobs in New Jersey. Wow. It just led her to this deep, dark place in her life. She tried committing suicide twice. Oh, wow. And failed. Mm-hmm. And I never knew this about Sarah, and she just opened up so candidly, and I didn't even think she knew that she was going to reveal so much, right? Yeah. But just from the spirit of the show, that's where we ended up going, and that was one of the most downloaded episodes of 2017. It impacted so many people because she was just so real about her struggles and her challenges, and I did not plan it at all.
Wow. When you're hearing the story, how are you responding internally?
If that was a video interview, I think my mouth would have been open the whole time. I was just so shocked because, number one, she trusted me enough to tell it to me and to share it publicly. Mm-hmm. But also, I think the way I responded was just, I asked questions just to dig a little bit deeper or to understand, but I tried to be as comforting and respectful of what she was saying. I let her guide the story, because in those instances, there isn't much you can really say, right? You have to just be very observant and listen and be respectful of what she was sharing.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned something interesting too, because you mentioned trust. And just the importance of trust, I think, as a podcaster in general. I mean, sometimes I think people are skeptical of how you're going to use their interview. And with something like that, it's amazing just the level of trust that you've garnered with your audience.
Definitely. Yeah, trust is so important. I think that when people know that your intentions are genuine and your intentions are real, that helps with it. Trust has to be gained, right? Sarah was episode 86. She saw how I dealt with other people who share their stories in different ways. And I definitely think that impacted her decision to tell those parts of her story. So it was definitely something that had to be built over time. And it was definitely natural. Mm-hmm. Like, I never try to push anyone to talk about something that they don't want to talk about. And also, my audience knows that, like, this is not the show where I am trying to destroy people, right? Yeah. You know, I'm not trying to ask questions that are gossipy or things like that. Like, you can go to other shows for that. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's also being authentic to who I am. Like, I genuinely just want to hear your story the way you tell it. Of course, I'll question you at times, but I like to have my guest be in the driver's seat and I'm in the passenger seat, just, you know, gently suggesting ways that we can turn left and right as the story progresses. Yeah. But Dreams and Drive is really about the guest driving the story and me just being a passenger along the way.
Yeah. I really like the way that you describe that journey together, though, because, I don't know, it just reminds me of that awesome conversation that you have with a friend driving somewhere. And it's just, yeah. I don't know, it's warm.
Like, think about it. If you ask your friend to take you somewhere, right, and your friend is the one who has the directions, who's going to be the better person at being in the driver's seat? The friend, right?
Yeah.
Because if I'm in the driver's seat, I'm anticipating, I'm trying to look at my phone, I'm doing, you know, I'm like, hey, where are we going? It's not as relaxing. But if the person's in the driver's seat, me as a guest, I can be a lot more relaxed. And it really is a true conversation. And I think with my shows, sometimes I don't necessarily have a end goal. I have a goal for the show, but it's not finite. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'm open to the show changing depending upon how the conversation goes.
Yeah.
There are definitely some things I definitely want to hit in each interview, but I'm just open to where we end up at the end of the journey. Sometimes I think I failed because I think I may have drifted too much. But for the most part, I think I'm learning how to really hone in on that style.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, too, because I think having that flexibility to divert from questions. I mean, we can only research so much of a person before we just have to talk to them and draw out what we can't discover from them online.
Yeah, I agree.
One of the things that I really like is the tagline of Dreams and Drive, creatives who are tired of being stuck. I love that because it's just like, I know so many creatives who are stuck in whatever it is that's holding them back. So why do you think creatives get stuck so much?
I think because our brains are just always filled with ideas. Like, we are just naturally inquisitive and we just naturally want to do things that it can be a gift and a curse at the same time. Like, we have so much life, but sometimes when you're not able to focus, when you're not able to really execute the way you would like to execute because your brain is always going, you can just give up. And a lot of creatives sometimes never create anything because they're just too much in their head. And a lot of us are sometimes filled with fear and doubt. So there's a lot of things that I think specifically, and I'm not trying to say that other types of people don't experience this, but I just think that as a creative person, it can sometimes be a little bit magnified. We feel a lot and we have so many emotions, and sometimes those emotions can get in the way of what we want to do. So that's why I think a lot of us get stuck at times. So that's why I try to speak to those people, because I know how it feels to want to do something, but something's holding you back.
Yeah. What's one way you get stuck and how do you work through it?
I think that a way that I get stuck sometimes is, like, this is, I'll give you a real life example. So I do podcast coaching and I've had a few clients, and one of my clients really wants me to, I guess, extend the type of services that I'm doing because he sees a potential in me, like, possibly building out another part of my revenue stream. And it's like, I don't know if I can do it. It's like, that's not what I plan to do. Like, I mastered this one thing and now you want me to do this other thing? Like, what if I fail, right? I think sometimes I'm always thinking about, like, what if I fail? And on the converse of that, it's like, but what if it's so good and more people want it and I can't meet their expectations? I constantly have this getting in my own way. And I think what I have to do and my goal for this year is to focus and to just figure out how to attack things one detail at a time and not make things bigger than they are. I am a worrywart. I can't invent things that never happened, right? Or that will never happen or that could never happen. So I'm really trying to work on that because I think it's getting in the way of what I possibly could be doing and the impact that I could be having on more people.
Yeah. Well, it speaks to that background in literature and storytelling, and that sometimes I think highly imaginative, creative people are so able to extend that imagination. And it's almost like if you could just apply it in a different way, in a different area, maybe you would have less energy to make things up in your mind. So you've touched on it before, you know, talking about how you need to get on social media and engage with your audience. What are some other ways that you approach building relationships with your audience and with other people that you might want on your podcast?
With my audience, I really am a fan now of Instagram polls as a really, really micro example. I think that it just gives you real-time feedback with people. So in your Instagram stories, there's a feature for you to create polls. And I love to do that on the daily, you know, just to ask people, like, you know, what type of stuff do you guys want to hear from me? Or what do you guys think about this? Or how's your day going? And people really do like that. Or sometimes I'll ask people to direct message me answers to things that I post. So that has been a great way for me to just get that one-on-one connection with people. And I think my audience appreciates that. For guests, what I found, like, do you mean guests that I want to be on the show or guests who have been on the show?
I think both, because I think you probably approach the relationship building similarly, I'm assuming.
Yeah, for guess who I want to be on the show, it's kind of like dating, right? In the beginning, you like their pictures one at a time, where you send them a soft note and said, "Hey there, I'm Raina. What's your name?" Stuff like that. So I'll start scouting them early and I'll start like planting the seeds. And then I go for that, you know, ask. Sometimes it may be a cold email. Sometimes it may be a DM or a tweet. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say, "Hey, I really enjoyed this. I think you'd be great for the show." And they can go check out my page and they see I have receipts, right? They see I'm not just some wannabe podcaster. I actually have had, you know, established people on, and I have a process that they can trust. So that's been a way that I think people have really trusted me when they've been doing the vetting. I think for people who have been on the show is I just try to provide value and make their experience as easy as possible for them. Once their show goes live, they get their episode graphic. They get links to share everything. They don't have to think about how to share it. I make it really, really easy for them. And then I'm always shouting them out. For the week that they are on my show, they are a celebrity, right? Like, I make sure that I have quote graphics and I tag them. I tell my audience to reach out to them. I tell my audience to follow them. So I really want people to find that their experience on the show was so valuable and they want to tell other people about that. And I've had some great guest referrals that way as well. And I'm always asking for feedback or for referrals, or I'll check in with people from time to time. I try to make sure that the show is not the last time that we're in contact.
Yeah. Is this something that came naturally to you, or did you just discover it as you consistently made your show?
Following up with people?
Yeah, and just, I mean, because the way that you unfolded all of that was just like, did you learn that like from the get-go, or was that something that, you know, you learned from other people and research and things like that as the show progressed?
Yeah, I think the like sales side of it, or just giving them a good experience before I made the sale, was something that I learned from like my day job of just marketing, like how to do good marketing. I had a good mentor, Gabrielle Simpson, who really taught me a lot about building relationships and networking. So those were like the core foundational things. But by doing a lot of research in the beginning, like I took John Lee Dumas's free course on podcasting. I read a lot about how to make your guest process as efficient as possible. And I knew that if I wanted people to share the episodes with their audience, I had to make it as efficient as possible. Mm-hmm. And I'm somebody that's very big on efficiencies. And I'm very big on trying to figure out how can I make, you know, $100 out of a penny. Mm-hmm. I just got really interested in reading up on it. So it was something I definitely had to research, and I've been trying to hone and continue to develop as time goes by.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. What advice can you give to introverts or people scared to initiate with others to build relationships?
I think that you have to figure out what works for you, right? Some people may never call somebody on the phone. That's not their way of communicating, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say it's an email. Maybe you're scared about that. But you need to figure out what works for you, but also realize, like, what is it that you want to get out of it? So if you have a goal for yourself of, like, I really want to meet people who work in the fishing industry because I want to be the next big fisher, I don't know, like fisherman, right? Then you have to know that if you really want that, then you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone in a way. But you can still be you and step out your comfort zone and get what you want. So if you're an introvert, I would say, like, don't see reaching out to people as you not still being able to be who you are, right? Like, mm-hmm. You don't have to put yourself out there. You can just be genuine. Say, like, "Hey, my name is Raina. I want to be the next big fisherman, fisherwoman, and you are somebody I really look up to." You can even say, you know, "I'm not even one to reach out to people like this, but your story is so compelling to me that I would really like to." Like, you know, do it like that. Be genuine and don't overwhelm yourself. I think with introverts, sometimes you may just feel overwhelmed by it all. It's not the actual doing, it's just the actual overwhelmed that you feel with it. Mm-hmm. So taking it step by step, planning it out, not doing too much all at one time, right? can really help. And then creating small wins. Maybe you don't start by, you know, emailing the biggest fisherman out there. Maybe you start with emailing your local fisherwoman and you say, hey, Miss Fisherwoman, like, we're here in Orange. This is such a weird example that I'm using. But, you know, like, start where you can get the easiest yes.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not even reaching out to fishermen. Maybe you're reaching out to just people close to you. Maybe you're practicing on your friends so you at least gain the confidence. I think it's really about taking baby steps, but knowing if your goal is to, you know, meet the big fishermen in the world, you're going to have to push past that comfort zone.
Yeah, that's great advice.
Wow. Thank you.
One of the things that I'm constantly thinking about is just this idea of momentum. Because, you know, you've done your podcast for 2 years and you wanted to have that consistency. But there's sometimes where, like, the momentum of a project can just feel like it's taking every ounce of my strength just to do one episode. But then there's times where it feels effortless.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious about you. Like, does momentum ever enter into your mind about the momentum of a project and how it's progressing?
Yeah, definitely. I'm one who I like to ride that momentum wave. Like, I get inspired by momentum. Like, this past week, I've had a lot of wins, and I'm somebody that works off of energy. So if I feel like things are going well, I just try to keep doing while I'm still inspired, because there'll be days where I'm not inspired and nothing gets done. So for me, it's like, if momentum is there, use that to get you to the next step, right? Yeah. It's kind of like in a car. If you're trying to push it uphill, you have to keep going, because the 1 minute that you stop, you might slip back down the hill, right? So it's just keep going once you have that push, because it's really going to be helpful for you.
Yeah. What's one thing that you do today that would completely amaze your younger self?
I don't think I ever imagined as, like, a little kid that I would have my own show and be getting to meet all these people, and that people would ever, like, come to me and say, hey, Rainey, you're inspiration to me, or hey, Rainey, you're doing such phenomenal things. I've always been, like, this dreamer, but that was never the dream I had for myself. I just found this note that I wrote, or this, like, project that I had that, you know, said, what do I want to be when I grow up? I think I said I wanted to be a doctor, a dancer, and save the world, right? But I never thought how this is playing into that, right? Because podcasting wasn't around when I was 7-year-old, 8-year-old. So seeing how I'm able to use my voice, which got me into a lot of trouble as a young kid, because I was a talkaholic. Like, people, my teachers will always say, Rainey, you're really smart, but you just talk too much, right? Now seeing how my gift of gab has really, you know, paid off for me is really cool to see.
Yeah. And I would imagine as a kid, it would, like, just give you hope and actually help you keep talking.
When you're young and you're getting in trouble for it, it's like, oh my gosh, like, I didn't really think about it. Although I will say, I don't think this would have surprised people in my life. Like, my mom always thought I would probably end up doing something like this. Maybe it just surprised me, but not other people.
That's cool. So you talked earlier about The Art of Pivoting that you read in a book, but what's another book or resource that completely changed how you think about your business or your life?
There's two that come to mind. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I think that's just a classic for a lot of people. It just really, really set into me the whole importance of self-development and self-help, and how you really can change, and if you focus and if you have a desire, a burning desire to. And I think on the business side, a book that really impacted me was this book called Guerrilla Marketing Remixed by J. Conrad Levinson.
Yeah.
And it's just like this huge book all about different marketing tactics that you can use. And I read that thing from front to back, like, twice, and highlighted it and had so many notes in it, because it just really made me think about, like, there's always a way you can figure it out. That was the big theme, like, be creative. Figure it out, and there's probably another way that you can spin it if you want to as well.
Yeah. Do you remember any of the tactics that really stood out that you still use to this day?
I think it's just little things. Like, everything you do is marketing, right? The way you talk to people, the way you greet people, your email signature. There are just so many little things, and I'm always looking for them now, right? Like, even when I go buy, like, cookies from McDonald's or during a late-night food run, right? On the back of the receipt, there's that, you know, fill this out and you'll get a free soda the next time, right? Like, everything you do is setting up how people are perceiving you and how people are remembering you. So make sure that you are driving how you want to be remembered, right? I think that's the biggest thing about marketing. It's all about perception and what people think about you and how you inspire them to take action. So if you think about that and you think about, you know, what are ways that I can inspire action, then you'll be a great marketer and you'll be really, really successful in whatever it is that you want to do.
Wow, that's awesome. Woo! That's awesome. Final question for you. Who is someone that you would love to interview, and what would you ask them?
That is a good one. I have so many people. I mean, I guess I really would love to interview Oprah, Michelle Obama. Mm-hmm. But if we could go back in time, I don't even want to do that. This is going to sound so egotistical, but I would love to interview myself as a little kid.
That's
because
awesome.
I just say that because I don't have that many like videos of myself as a kid. So all I remember of myself is the things that I remember, which may not even be true, because, you know, memories aren't always necessarily true.
Yeah.
So I would just love to ask myself some like deep questions to see how I was thinking as a young child, because I ask my guests for each show, the beginning of each show is, you know, what inspired you as a child? And they all speak from memories, right? We all say these are the things that we think were inspiring us, but how much of that is really true, or how much is that reflective of who we are today and what we want to remember? So I would love to get that honest answer, like to ask 8-year-old Raina, what inspires you? And to see what she would say, because she probably would say something crazy.
That's so awesome. Raina, thank you so much for taking time and being a guest on Getting Work to Work. I am truly inspired just by the ways that you approach your podcast and the ways that you approach relationships. There's so much to learn from you. And so thank you.
Thank you, Chris. I'm so excited and I'm so happy that you invited me to be on your show, and I get to just relax and answer questions, no pressure. So that's been really fun for me.
Awesome. Where can people find out about you?
So you can listen to the podcast Dreams and Drive. You're everywhere in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, whatever podcast app you listen to. We're on social at our handle is Dreams in Drive. This is Dreams IN Drive. And our website is dreamsanddrive.com.
Awesome. Well, have a great evening. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. It means so much to me that you do. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms. Got a few moments to let me know what you think of the show? Head to Getting Work to Work on iTunes, click ratings and reviews, and either click the number of stars to rate the show or write a review. Thank you so much. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work, or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice or just need someone to say hi to. Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.